So I was asked to give class this morning. Thank you very much for coming. And they said pick whatever verse you want. We're starting for Jamashtami. So I thought these were important for the beginning. I was going to do 7, 8, and 9, but we'll just do 7, repeating. Okay. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam shijamyaham. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharat, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. Purport. The word Shijami is significant herein. Shijami cannot be used in the sense of creation, because according to the previous verse, there is no creation of the Lord's form or body, since all forms are eternally existent. Therefore, Shijami means that the Lord manifests himself. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shishi Gornitai ki jai. Himself as okay. The Lord manifests himself as he is. Although the Lord appears on scheduled, namely at the end of the Dwapara Yuga, of the 28th millennium, of the 7th Manu in one day of Brahma, he has no obligation to adhere to such rules and regulations because he is completely free to act in many ways at his will. He therefore appears by his own will whenever there is a predominance of irreligiosity and a disappearance of true religion. Principles of religion are laid down in the Vedas, and any discrepancy in the matter of properly executing the rules of the Vedas makes one irreligious. In the Bhagavatam, it is stated that such principles are the laws of the Lord. Only the Lord can manufacture a system of religion. The Vedas are also accepted as originally spoken by the Lord himself to Brahma from within the heart. Therefore, the principles of Dharma or religion are the direct orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These principles are clearly indicated throughout the Bhagavad Gita. The purpose of the Vedas is to establish such principles under the order of the Supreme Lord. And the Lord directly orders at the end of the Gita that the highest principle of religion is to surrender unto him only and nothing more. The Vedic principles push one towards complete surrender unto him. And whenever such principles are disturbed by the demoniac, the Lord appears. From the Bhagavatam, we understand that Lord Buddha is the incarnation of Krishna, who appeared when the materialism was rampant and materialists were using the pretext of the authority of the Vedas. Although there are certain restrictive rules and regulations regarding animal sacrifice for the particular purpose in the Vedas, people of demoniac tendencies still took to animal sacrifice without reference to the Vedic principles. Lord Buddha appeared in order to stop this nonsense and to establish the Vedic principles of nonviolence. Therefore, each and every avatar or incarnation of the Lord has a particular mission, and they are all described in the revealed scriptures. No one should be accepted as an avatar unless he is referred to by scriptures. It is not a fact that the Lord appears only on Indian soil. He can manifest himself anywhere and everywhere. And whenever he desires to appear, in each and every incarnation, he speaks as much about religion as can be understood by the particular people under their particular circumstances. But the mission is the same, to lead people to God consciousness and obedience to the principles of religion. Sometimes he descends personally, and sometimes he sends his bona fide representatives in the form of his son or servant, or himself in some disguised form. The principles of the Bhagavad Gita were spoken to Arjuna, and for that matter to other highly elevated persons, because he was highly advanced compared to ordinary persons in other parts of the world. 2 + 2 = 4 in mathematical principles. That is true in the beginner's arithmetic class and the advanced class as well. Still, there are higher and lower mathematics. In all incarnations of the Lord, therefore, The same principles are taught, but they appear to be higher and lower in varied circumstances. The higher principle of religion begins with the acceptance of the four orders of the four statuses of social life, as will be explained later. The whole purpose of the mission of incarnations is to arouse Krishna consciousness everywhere. Such consciousness is manifest and non-manifest only under different circumstances. Omagina timirandasya jananjana salakaya chakshun militam yena tasmai shi guruve namaha. Okay, I wanted to just read 8 and 9 also. I won't read the purport, but just the translation. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activity does not, upon leaving this body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjun. So these three verses are explaining why Krishna comes to this material world. He appears here not only to annihilate the miscreants, but he appears here to give pleasure to the devotees and give protection. We see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to bring in the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Krishna came to manifest such beautiful pastimes that attract the mind of everyone. Yesterday when Prabhu was giving class about Lord Balaram, you know, he was saying how he started reading the Krishna book and how wonderful the pastimes were. And Srila Prabhupada himself produced the Krishna book before a lot of other books he immediately produced so that we could read. I remember I first got the Bhagavad Gita and I couldn't really understand so much. And then I got the Krishna book and I couldn't quit reading it. It was just so wonderful. It takes the mind and it shows you reality. My son-in-law, they were on vacation and he took this photo, and it was a photo of his family walking, and there was a water puddle here. So you saw the family. And then he turned it around so that the reflection became the picture and the real persons were underneath. And it looked like your mind switched, and then it looked like that reflection was reality. So Krishna tells us it's the same here. We're thinking that our everyday activities are our reality. But actually, we're living in the reflection of reality. And you turn the picture around, then we see real reality. And that is Krishna's pastimes. That Goloka Vrindavan is our real place. That's where we really belong. So to get there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us this simple method, and Srila Prabhupada brought it kindly for us to take up. And that's the chanting of these holy names. Now, in Nectar of Instruction, and I just tried to find it to redo my mind, but Srila Rupa Goswami says there that the nectar of the holy names, pastimes, paraphernalia, form, are all transcendentally beautiful and like nectar to the tongue. But those afflicted by the ignorance, then we can't taste that. Just like a jaundiced person who tasting sugar thinks it tastes awful. I don't know if any of you have had jaundice before. I've had it, and sugar tastes awful. I made the Mungo sweets, and I tasted one, and it tasted, I thought the milk was off or something was wrong, but everyone else thought it tasted like nectar. So the way to get rid of this jaundice is by eating sugar candy. And it tastes awful, but slowly, slowly, your taste becomes, that's nice. It tastes like sugar. So similarly, these chanting and hearing about the Lord's pastimes, sometimes at the beginning it might be a bit like, I'd rather do something else than chant my japa, or, you know, I've got so many other things, I'll leave that for later. or hearing about the Lord, maybe I should go to class, but maybe I've got something else that's more fun to do. You know, sometimes we see it like that. But Srila Rupa Goswami says, if just you carefully chant these holy names, the natural taste will awaken, just like eating that sugar candy. At first tastes bitter, but if we keep eating it, it will become sweet. So similarly, practicing this Krishna consciousness will make the taste very sweet for chanting. And chanting over and over every day, you'll gain that relationship with Krishna. And that's what it says at the end, that, you know, if we understand Krishna as he is, we can go back to Godhead. There's no question of us being stuck here. So that's reality. Not this everyday stuff that we get involved in. That's not real. That's the reflection of reality, just like that photo. You know, but real reality is making our priorities. So many things we have to do. But our priorities are getting to know Krishna. And that's through chanting, hearing about Krishna, and serving Krishna. We're the servants. And that brings about surrender. And I had once before, this is my little book that I write everything down. There's six symptoms of surrender. And those symptoms are, one should perform only those actions favorable for devotional service. So when we're going to do something, we should think, is this really going to help us in our devotional service? Or is this going to hurt us in our devotional service? Because we're wanting to make advancement. And even if we don't do that, we can go back and try again. That's the good thing about devotional service. There's always another day and another way. Two, one should give up everything unfavorable for discharging devotional service. Three, one should firmly believe that Krishna will protect one in all circumstances, that no one is a better protector. Actually, one time Srila Prabhupada said he was on the train with his father, and the conductor came up and said, "Where's your ticket?" He said this in a very stern voice. "Where's your ticket?" And he said, "I was just a little boy. I didn't have the ticket. But I knew my father had the ticket. So I felt protected." So similarly, he said, we should feel like that. That Krishna protects us always. In fact, there's one class where Srila Prabhupada was giving class on Ajameel. And at one point he said, do not think that Krishna is an ungrateful master. No matter what we are or what we've done or what we do, Krishna's not ungrateful for every bit of service that we do for him. So he's always protecting us. One should have the conviction that Krishna is one's maintainer. Five, one should always remember that one's activities and desires are not independent. Six, one should always think oneself the poorest of the poor and feel totally dependent on the mercy of Krishna. So these are the principles of surrender that we should all cultivate. And how to surrender to someone, you have to love them, right? You have to know them and love them to surrender. So that is what this chanting and hearing is all about. It's to get this love, right? And I've noticed worshiping the Lord in the deity form, just even if you're not personally going to dress the Lord, but even just coming to the kirtan and seeing the Lord and seeing how he's dressed and what wonderful arrangements the pujaris have made for Krishna, that you get a relationship with the Lord that way. And it grows. And it's not an artificial thing. It's real. That's really how to know Krishna. Then when Krishna's birthday comes, we want to celebrate. Because he's our Lord. He's our friend. He's our protector. He's someone who every day we have to depend on for everything in our life. So just like an animal is totally dependent upon someone, like our cows, I think sometimes they would never be able to live without us taking care of them. So they're dependent on us. But they show love. They love us. And we love them. And Krishna's the same. He loves us. And we love him. And how much we love Krishna and how much we show our love by service to devotees and to Krishna, that much he reciprocates. But not just that much, he reciprocates 10 times more, 100 times more, 1,000,000 times more. We can't even imagine. So at the beginning, we might feel like, oh, I've been doing this now for 1.5 years and nothing's happened. I'm not feeling anything, right? I remember at the beginning, I thought, well, within 6 months, I'll be a pure devotee. And then 40 some odd years later, now I'm getting some taste and I have some relationship coming, but it's slow. You know, we've been in this material world for millions of lifetimes. You know, just developing our material life. So what to speak of the spiritual life? We have to give this one lifetime to hearing, chanting about the Supreme Lord, hearing about him, associating with devotees, serving devotees, and it'll come without a doubt. It will come. So I was thinking that we have these nice pastimes that Krishna has done, and I had these ones that I gave class on Gopastami in Alachua, and reading about Krishna just as a cowherd boy is so wonderful. So I thought I would share with you. They're from, I think from Sri Jiva Goswami Gopal Champu. But it says that when Mother Yashoda realized that she could not restrain Krishna, Nanda and Yashoda decided to allow him to herd the calves in the immediate vicinity of the village. So they wanted to keep an eye on Krishna. Krishna's a person. That's one thing we really have to see, is that Krishna is a person. It's not just some energy. You know how people say the energy or the force is with us or whatever, you know. But Krishna is a person, which is an amazing thing, because we're so full of impersonalism in this material world. It's preached always. But Krishna is a person. He has feelings. The devotees have feelings for him. He has feelings for his devotees. So Mother Yashoda, she's thinking, oh, I don't want him to go far. I want him to stay here near the... Okay, so we'll let him have the calves, because the calves just hang around the village, and I'll be able to keep an eye on him. So he was initiated. They had an initiation ceremony for him to take the calves along with Balaram and some of the other boys. And they were given appropriate mantras, ropes, sticks, flutes, and horns to carry. So Krishna did this for a while. And Mother Yashoda said, well, first you must put on some shoes because you're going a little farther away from our home. And there's all kinds of prickles and things that are going to hurt your feet. So put on some shoes. Does anybody know what Krishna said? Exactly. The cows aren't wearing shoes, so I'm not going to wear shoes. So he refused to wear the shoes. So then he carried on, and he was taking care of the calves. Then he became, I want to go out with the cows. I don't want to just stay with the calves. So Yashoda was trying not to see that he's getting older. I don't want to see that, because she wants to keep him right near so she can always go feed him and hug him and smell him. But he wants to go out. So Mother Yashoda became very worried, and Nanda Baba saw that he's hanging around with my brothers a lot. What is he talking about? He seems disturbed. So he went to his younger brother and he says, what is my Krishna talking to you about? What is he revealing to you? And Sunanda said, he wants to take the cows out to the pasturing grounds. He feels like he's old enough. And why should you be taking them out when he's old enough to take the cows? So then Nanda Maharaj thought, I guess that's true. I guess we'll have to do this. So they consulted one another and the Brahmins, and the Brahmins said, yes, it's that time. So they made a huge ceremony. And it said it was much bigger than that ceremony. For 3 days, they invited all the residents in Vrindavan. Please come. Krishna and the cowherd boys and Sri Balaram are going to go out with the cows now. Please come. It's a big ceremony. So the Brahmins came and they did this ceremony. It's said that for 3 days the announcements were made to invite everyone. The ceremony made the previous ceremony seem very small. Krishna approached the cows. He washed their feet. He offered them praise and fed them sweet fodder from his own hands. After the cows were satisfied, he bowed before them in respect. Then he satisfied the priests with gifts. Next, he came before his father with folded hands, along with Sri Balaram. Nanda placed a jeweled cowherd staff in his son's hand. Yashoda put tilak upon his forehead, saying, "Balaram, now you stay in front of Krishna. Subal, you stay behind him. Sridham and Sudham, you stay on his sides. And the rest of you gather all around them, for he is your dear friend." So she's making arrangements. "Please protect my son. Now he's going far away." She's seeing him as the light of her life. And she doesn't want to lose him. And she doesn't want to not see him all the time. But she has to do this now. So it's Jiva Goswami says, "Whenever the cows are satisfied, so too is Krishna. And whenever they are hungry, he is as well. He calls them near again and again. Pressing against them, he relishes their scent and embraces them, examining them closely and feeding them. Without him, their hearts are empty, and they stand motionless as if they are painted. Only when they are reunited with him do they recover, smelling, seeing, hearing, tasting, and touching him." So even the cows have this relishable pastimes with Krishna. So everyone in the spiritual world has these pastimes. You know, even it said the bamboo flute. In Krishna book, it says that the bamboo flute, all the other bamboos are saying, "How does he get that luck to be kissed by Krishna?" The gopis are saying, "He's so fortunate. We don't get that good fortune." But that bamboo stick, it's just a stick. And he's relishing the nectar of Krishna's lips. So everyone is able to relish and appreciate their relationship with Krishna. And there's no envy there in the spirit. Like here we might say, "Oh, why are they doing that service? I could do that service better. I should be allowed." There's a little envy maybe there. But not in the spiritual world. They're all relishing personal relationship with Krishna. Whatever they're doing, that personal relationship is there. And they're fully satisfied. And that's where we want to go. That's our real home. That is where we're really going to be satisfied. Not in this material world where there's so many inebrities. You know, there's suffering of some kind or other. There's birth, death, disease, and old age. One time, someone said to Vaisheshika, I think it was, "You all talk so much about this birth, death, disease, and old age. I mean, this place is fun sometimes. Why do you always hang, you know, go on and on? I mean, it's a bit negative." Said, "Well, but we have to be honest. We have to know where we're really at. But the thing is, it's not negative because we're giving you the positive also, right? How to get out of this. So it's not really negative." Okay. And, you know, you look around, you're not going to see, this place is a miserable place. No, they have, try this new iPhone and you will be happy. Try this new scent and everyone will be attracted to you, right? Everyone's trying to tell you, you're going to be happy if you do this. You're going to be happy. But where is the person's telling you, actually, this place is miserable. It's not your home and you want to get out of here and here's how to do it, right? Only an honest person does such a thing. And that's the devotees of the Lord. And the Lord himself, they come here to tell you, this is how to do it. This is how to get out of here. So Bhagavad Gita is personally spoken by the Lord. He came and he personally spoke this Bhagavad Gita to give us the path. This is how you get out, just like a map. This is what it's all about here. And this is how you get out of this entanglement. Because the material world is kind of like a web, you know. spider webs. In Alachua, we have enormous spiders, and they build webs all over. And sometimes you come out your door, and there's one just in front of your door, and you kind of... But one time I was sitting on the porch watching, and they make these beautiful webs, but then you get this wasp flew in, and the wasp is trying hard to get out, and the spider's like, oh, yes, you know, my next meal, and he's down that web. Well, the spider can move very easily on the web, up and down, but this wasp, the more he wiggled, the more entangled he got in the web. And it was sticking to him, and he couldn't get out, and he was trying to fly, and the spider, and he was gone. So that's us in this material world as well. We're getting entangled. Oh, I have to do this. I have to do that. I need a better job. I need more education. I need this. I need that. And we're getting more and more entangled. And then death comes, just like that spider. Then death comes. I mean, how many of us realize how old we're getting so fast? You know, we realize after we are old, yes. But it's imperceptible. You think, like, I can remember when I was just 19, or, you know, I remember living here at Bhaktivedanta Manor and enjoying so many things and Prabhupada coming, and, you know, but then now I'm in my 60s, and whoa, that went so fast. And I was just with a devotee who was leaving his body, Yamaraj Prabhu, and he was the photographer for BTG forever and ever. He's done that for... So he was leaving, and my husband and I went to see him, and he said, I've wasted so much time in my life. I've wasted so much time. I should have done more studying. And then my husband was saying, Yamaraj Prabhu, you've done so much service for Srila Prabhupada. And then we were just glorifying all this service he had done. But to him, he felt like, now my time's up, and I could have done this and this, and I should have done, you know. So that's us, all of us. You know, I think even in the end of the day, if I look back at my day, there's so many other things I could have done besides what I did. And, you know, I could have fit in more chanting. I could have fit in more reading. You know, I could have gone out, maybe distributed a book, or, you know, and life just goes by and it's gone. So we have to be serious about what we're doing, getting to know Krishna, establishing this relationship with Krishna, understanding Krishna's pastimes. And all of this is through chanting. I feel like that is the main, it's like the umbilical cord to Krishna, or like the direct line. You know, everybody has cell phones, right? So you want to get hold of some. So Krishna's cell phone number is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And you have a direct link, right? You can link directly to Krishna at any time. So we want to feel like we're connected, and that chanting is what connects us. And that's what gives us our relationship with Krishna, and it will definitely come. There's no question. You will definitely start feeling a direct love for Krishna that you can't ignore. You can't just go away and pretend it's not there. And it will happen for everyone, and Krishna promises you that. So it's a happy looking forward that we have a glorious life ahead. And now, I mean, devotional service is fun. It's not a miserable thing. It's a fun thing. And to see how Krishna interacts with us always, somehow or other, makes some plans. I was telling my friends about, we had this, my husband and I were going on this trip, and we were supposed to leave at 8 or 9 o'clock. And then something happened to the van, and this happened, and we had to get it. Anyway, it ended up we were leaving Gainesville at 5. So we're leaving, and it takes 2.5 hours to get to where we're going, and we're going. And then the van breaks down right as we're pulling into this. It was a beach kind of place in Florida. And so then we have to kind of pull into this parking lot of this fruit stand, you know, and just like we were lucky to get off the road because there was no sides on the road. And this young boy is over there putting away the fruit stand, and my husband gets out and goes, are either of you mechanics? Is there any mechanics here? Because everything's closed, and we're thinking, what are we going to do? And this boy reluctantly said, yeah, I'm a mechanic, and he comes over. And then he said, I heard you, and I was thinking, I want to get home. I'm finished working today. I've got things to do. But he said, I should help. That's what I should be doing, is helping others. So he comes over and he looks, and it was a little thing, just some little thing that he put together, a wire or something. And my husband said, can I pay you something? He said, no, that was nothing. It's okay. It's fine. I was worried it was going to be something big. And then he said, well, can I give you a book? And the boy said, oh, yeah, I could. I don't mind. I like reading. So he gave him the Bhagavad Gita. He goes, wow, I just became a vegetarian like 2 weeks ago. And then my husband said, oh, I've got another book you'd like, The Higher Taste, right? It's a cookbook. You can, oh, this is so amazing. He said, I've been looking for something, you know, sort of transcendental. And I've been, so I was thinking, just see how Krishna arranged. We were stuck, and I'm complaining, thinking, why are we stuck like this, you know? But Jai, Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki Jai, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki Jai, Shishi Gornitai ki Jai. But Krishna had made that arrangement perfectly for this boy. And this boy kept going, I can't believe this happened. I can't believe this happened. If you would have been 5 minutes later, I would have been gone. You know, this is amazing. So then he said, well, you want to come and chant at the park with us tomorrow? We're going to go and chant in the park. And he said, yeah, okay. So then the next day he was there at the park. And then this other boy that we met came to the park, and we chanted, and we had a little Bhagavad Gita class just there in the park. And, you know, I thought, see how Krishna makes arrangements. If we just have a little desire to serve, he takes so many steps to give us that service, to let us serve. So I was asked also to talk about Srila Prabhupada. Are there any questions or comments? Anyone?